The Boulderista is a podcast that celebrates the Boulder, Colorado lifestyle by highlighting local influencers and the inspiring impact they have on our community, and celebrating the local traditions that make this the happiest place to live in the U.S. I am your host, Sherry Figueroa, and I invite you to explore what makes Boulder, Boulder. Today's local influencer is my soul sister, Chef Maria Cooper. In 2005, she moved to Boulder after graduating from the Pennsylvania Culinary Institute and immediately fell in love with the nourishing food, organic ingredients, and local offerings she found here. Due to a 2010 diagnosis of two major autoimmune conditions, as well as insulin resistance, Maria had to immediately and drastically change her relationship with food. Although she was already practicing an organic, gluten-free, and dairy-free diet, she had to get creative to sustain a complete protein, vegetable, and healthy fat-based diet that would be delicious, exciting, and fulfilling. Her healing journey with food led her to publish Heartful Kitchen, a cookbook for every body, a helpful paleo handbook of 110 nutrient-dense recipes guaranteed to simplify your cooking life and bring vitality into your being. Chef Maria also serves as a nourishment coach, teaching people how to balance a healthy lifestyle with busy lives, food allergies and illness, complicated family situations, and various budgets. Here to share her story, her wisdom, and how she manages to make delicious synonymous with nutritious is Chef Maria Cooper. Welcome, Maria.
Thanks. I love that intro, Sherry. Thank you.
You're welcome. It just speaks to how radiant you are.
Yeah, and it really takes me back to our time together at Anjou. And yeah, we provided some incredibly healthy food for the local crew of downtown Boulder on Pearl Street with some international foods at that time and organic juices, 100% organic cafe. It was incredible for the short time that it lasted, but it was a joy.
And it was so beautiful to meet people like you and Chef Craig King, who were already so rooted into the community. So really enjoyed my time working with you, and I miss you.
Yeah, it's great to reconnect with you. And that was the first kitchen that I ran. You know, Chef Craig ran the juice side, and I ran the food side. And it was such an opportunity. It was very divinely inspired, I think, to land in an opportunity like that. And I learned so much, and I got the opportunity to be so creative. And he and I actually lived right next to each other, and so we stayed up late and came up with menus and came up with juice concoctions and food concoctions, and it was such a joy at that time.
So let's back up a little bit. Yeah. Tell me, where did you come from, and how did you get to Boulder?
Right. I think my love of food and my passion with food definitely started with my grandmother, my Lebanese grandmother. She, I would spend summers with her, and we would cook together, and she would teach me about Lebanese baked goods. We would roll baklava, and we would stuff pastries with lamb and just get our hands in food. And she would teach me patience and the exact right way to do everything. And we'd pick mint from the garden and put it in salads. And so I think that's, and my mother as well, you know, would make homemade dinners every night. And so it was very, from the beginning, family-oriented, Mediterranean-based roots. But my interest education-wise was more of the arts. You know, it started with music and acting, and then I moved into psychology, graduated with psychology, did social work, and kind of got burned out. And then I decided to go to culinary school. I was living in Pittsburgh. I was in a rock band at the time. Took some time off, tried to travel around and do the whole rock scene. And
wait, what did you sing or what did you play?
Yeah, I sang and played guitar. We were a three-piece We were a rock band. We were very passionate, very heavy. I played electric guitar. And it was not a lifestyle that suited my being, but it was very fun while it lasted. And then I decided to go back to college, finish my psychology degree, and eventually, after working for a while in the social work field with guys just getting out of prison, actually, I was working on a grant-funded project, and we lost our funding, and I was almost sick from the emotional weight that it was holding, realizing that it wasn't a good fit for me, even though I loved it. I was just really taking it on in my physical body. And I loved cooking, and I was reading cookbooks cover to cover. And so I went to culinary school and just dove into it. I just loved it. And graduated top of my class. I was heavily involved in the scene there in Pittsburgh, in the cooking scene. And then my partner and I at the time, we were looking to move. He was looking at acupuncture school, and we were looking at various places and just landed in Boulder, came out to visit Boulder as well as some other spots out west, and Boulder just called to us. And so we came here. Yeah, that was 2005, same time that you moved here, I think.
Not that this is about me, but I'm just, I'm in awe of things that I didn't even realize how parallel our lives are. Mm. At the time when I moved here, my partner as well was looking to go to acupuncture college, and it was sort of the impetus for us to even look at Boulder.
They were classmates, I think.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
I came from Florida, so we were living in Miami.
Okay, so also a big city. Yeah, mm-hmm. Pittsburgh was a big city. And what it does, for me, what it does to the nervous system to live downtown, big city, and then coming to Boulder, especially Boulder, that many years ago, which was a little more mellow. It was just what I needed. And the nourishment that Boulder brought to me, I mean, it was just, again, so divinely support. I was so divinely supported at that time by this town. Mm-hmm. So grateful.
So tell me, how did you root into the community? What are some ways after getting here that you sort of made friends and established yourself in the community?
Yeah, definitely a couple different avenues. One was through dance. So I became quite sick when I moved to Boulder. I took a pharmaceutical drug that I was prescribed, and I had an allergic reaction to it. I got quite sick, and I had these incredible headaches. And so the first job that I had after moving to Boulder was as a line cook, and I started passing out on the line. And so I couldn't work anymore. I tried to work for a while, but I couldn't work. My whole body was saying, no more line cooking, at least for now. Then I met Craig King, and he just appeared in my life. He moved in. We started juicing together and delivering juice. So he was sort of the first godsend. And I met some healing people through him and made some friends that way. My dad came out to visit, and he and my partner built a garden for me. And I started doing personal chef work and using a lot of the produce from the gardens and meeting people that way. So just kind of marketing myself and doing a lot of personal chef work, which was just wonderful. And then the dance, as I mentioned before, I healed through dance. A friend recommended this type of dance called Soul Sweat, and I got so into it, and it made me feel better. And then I started teaching about a year later. And I've been teaching ever since. So that's been one avenue of healing and health and passion and, yeah, love for sure.
Are you still teaching now?
I am, yeah.
Where are you teaching?
I teach twice a week at Alchemy of Movement.
Soul Sweat still?
Yep.
That's awesome. What does Soul Sweat mean? Describe that dance class.
Soul Sweat is different for every teacher, but the basis of it is really, it's so hard to describe, you know, you have to experience it. A woman Chantal created this type of dance many years ago, and it uses the elements. So we dance earth, we dance air, we dance metal, and it looks different in our bodies. It's very passionate. It's very it's great exercise, but you can meet it depending on what level you need. So for example, I'll have 60, 70-year-old women coming to my dance class, and they can find a way to do it that meets them. And then I'll have 20-year-olds coming and just jumping and it works. It works for everyone. It might be a hip hop song, it might be salsa, it might be more trance, more electronic, it might be kind of heavier music. So in each of my classes, I try to have it be a variety of music so everyone can sort of feel comfortable. And it's often a spiritual experience. You can work through some things in class, lots of breath work, but it's a great workout. Men and women come.
That's one of my most important things that I do weekly is dance. And I like to think of it as I can't think when I'm dancing. I can't be in my head. I can't be worried about whatever problems are on the plate right now. I can just move and breathe. And the music is so therapeutic as well. So the music choice is important.
Yeah, so that's a great point. We always have a focus at the beginning of class. And one thing that I'll say, like I have a class on Wednesday nights, and Wednesday's just smack dab in the middle of the week. So oftentimes the focus I'll bring is, okay, just notice, like the focus I'll bring tonight is notice that whatever you have happening now, that by the time you walk out the door, it might be a bit shifted, and just observe it, you know, just observe the shift as you move throughout class. And mm-hmm. and it's they have become, since I hold a lot in my life presently, there's a lot on my plate all the time, it seems. And so, but I won't give up those classes because they're sort of pillars in my week to help create internal space, just like meditation. You know, it's so helpful to hold those.
You are chefing over at Highlands City Club. Tell me more about what a power lunch looks like over there. I call it a power lunch. I've had lunch there once and it was amazing, and I felt so nourished by it. I walked away feeling completely satisfied but not full, which is really great. But tell me about how you're feeding this community, how you came to work there.
Sure. Well, I'll start with how I came to work there. I had this job in Spain prior to City Club. And after Zesta and Anju, because Anju became Zesta, that's the juice bar that I was speaking about a moment ago, that closed abruptly. And I was looking for another position, and I had this opportunity to help open up a place in Spain. And I did that. And that was a year-long sort of consulting job, which was amazing, a great opportunity. And when I came back, I wanted a job with no responsibility for a while. So I just worked as a line cook for a while up in North Boulder at 4580, which was so much fun. And then I was ready for something more. So I found an executive chef position at the Highland City Club, and which is a private club in downtown Boulder, and they have a co-working space on the third floor, which is just flourishing. I mean, every week, many more members are signing up, and it's a really neat space. It's really unusual as far as co-working spaces go. We have the outdoor gardens. We have this beautiful third floor. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but the third floor is just very well done. And then we have the lunches every day, Monday through Friday. And I've been there for 10 years, and I've seen the space change quite a bit. We also have the social membership, which is different, but which has been happening for, I think we're on 14 years now that the City Club has been open. The co-working space is the new thing there. But the lunches that you ask about has been such a joy to help them create. They did lunches prior to my being there, but they've evolved since I've been there. And I really enjoy, it's a buffet, and I really enjoy focusing on very nutrient-dense foods as much as possible. The menu changes every day. We have loads of vegetables, some fruit, some really nice cheeses and things, and then there's always a nice protein at the end, and everything is responsibly sourced. And, you know, for example, I could just give you the rundown of one day, which could look like a whole Mediterranean spread, for example, like Lebanese hummus, baba ganoush, fresh crudité, fresh raw vegetables, seasonal vegetables, various salads like tabbouleh, which we'll always do gluten-free. Our whole buffet generally is gluten-free. The main dish is gluten-free all the time. And then we'll do, you know, fish, some kind of good seafood 2 or 3 days a week. We do grass-fed beef. We do Boulder poultry. So we have great stuff. We do barbecues one day a week outside. It's fun. We have happy hours Friday nights. I have an amazing team there that that I just couldn't do without. You know, my shortest term employee in the kitchen is 2 years, which is unheard of.
That is unheard of.
Yeah.
So much turnover.
Yeah, I feel really lucky with that.
You mentioned your food being gluten-free and organic and being able to work with people and having sensitivities. And it seems like your book also focuses on that. So let's talk about your book a little bit and, you know, tell me, why did you write this book and how is it different than every other cookbook?
Right. So I actually started this book about 5 years ago, and a lot of people have been asking me for recipes, and I started keeping track of them. And I also was diagnosed with various autoimmune conditions several years ago, and was noticing that in my own life and my own home, my current partner has a son, and they eat differently than I ate at that time when I got diagnosed with all these conditions. So I was needing to find a system at home, and other people in my life were going through similar things, and so asking me for tips. And so I started keeping track and noticing that my list of recipes and notes and things was becoming bigger and bigger. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to start writing a book. A lot of people had asked me to do so. And so I started working on it. About the same time, I had a major ankle injury. And so I was sitting. So I was on my computer anyways. So I might as well work on that. And I did. I mean, for a solid year, I worked on it about 5 years ago. So I sent the proposal to probably 20 different publishers, and I got rejected from all of them. And so I just took this as a sign that it wasn't the right thing. But I was saddened by it, and I, you know, I felt rejected. And so I just took a break. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pause with this. I'm going to take a break. I actually took 2 years off, and then after that, I was moved to get back to it all of a sudden. And so I got back to it, and I got back to it with a vengeance. And I saw, this was a year and a half ago, and I saw that, okay, everything's got to be different. All of a sudden, people are trying to really simplify with their food. I had since like started a coaching business, started helping people with their food lives, really simplifying their food in their homes, making it work, especially people with special diet needs and things. People do not want to spend time cooking, but they want to eat good food and they want to eat healthy food. So I redid all my recipes, took the recipes I had for the book, simplified them, and then I was happy for it, happy with it. It took me about, I don't know, 9 months or so. Hired a couple editors, redid it, hired a photographer, and just got it done. And then I decided to self-publish it, and it was the right thing to do. And I mean, it was the right thing to do financially. It was the right thing to do because I get to make all the decisions. And yeah, nowadays with the way that things are with books.
What shifted for you? What was it that made you decide you wanted to get back to it?
I think life circumstances, you know, like I had had a few different physical challenges in that time. I had my ankle, I had my back, I had a major gut issue, and those needed my attention to heal. And I had this full-time job at the City Club, and that needed my attention. And I only have so much attention. I have a family. My partner has a son, and I can't be spread too thin. I'm not interested in being spread too thin. It's like, for me, it's all about the balance, and something's got to give. But then when all of a sudden the time was right, it was like, the time is like right now to do this. And it sort of came up to the top, and everybody knew it. And it happened, you know.
Magically.
And then all these people showed up. Like, I found the right designer. I found the right editor. This woman moved in right next door, and she was this editor from heaven, you know, and became a really close friend. Like, things line up when it's right. So it wasn't right the first round. And now I have these beautiful books. So first I printed domestically, and that was great. And I sold about 800 books. And then I decided, okay, I sold 800. I want to buy more books. And I found an international printer out of Korea. And I just received 1,200 books in the mail a couple days ago. And they're so beautiful. And so I'm really looking forward to the next steps with it. Yeah, it's exciting.
What is maybe your favorite recipe from the book, or a favorite hack or lesson that is learned reading this book about eating healthy?
Yeah. So I think I answer that question differently now after working with people who are really trying to simplify their lives with food. My favorite recipe, in having said that, is the rotisserie chicken salad recipes, because most places you can buy a rotisserie chicken, and many of us are busy professionals or busy moms or busy dads, and picking up a rotisserie chicken and peeling it. There are a few, just peeling the meat off, there are a few recipes in this book that show really quick, delicious things to mix them up with. And then you have this like protein packed with vegetable power food in your fridge that lasts for a few days that you can have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can take it to work with you. And it's really functional, and it's so delicious. And those are the ones that I get the most feedback on that really help people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Circle back a little bit towards how your book is different. You have different resources. You speak about it as a handbook, not just recipes.
Right. There are definitely shopping lists of, overall guidance on what is good ideas to shop for, getting specific with ingredients. And there's a lot more in-depth information on my website with that. Sometimes people are just overwhelmed with, oh gosh, I've heard this here and I've heard that there, and what oils do I use? And I hear olive oil's good, but I hear it's bad to cook with. And, you know, oftentimes people just don't know. And so those kinds of details are in there, and I find that to be helpful. And the why is in there as well. Also, things about fats can be really helpful for folks, like what kinds of fats. There's so many different ideas, like with keto, you know, people are so confused. They just want to lose weight. So do they go to this extreme or that extreme? And I don't suggest any directive diet, because I personally don't think that diets are the answer with regard to weight loss. I think that eating real food is the answer. And but if keto is what you are interested in doing, especially for a short period of time, you can use this book like this book is technically keto because it doesn't have carbohydrates in it, really. It doesn't have heavy carbohydrates in it. It doesn't even have sweet potatoes in it necessarily. But you can eat loads of vegetables and nourish your body. So nutrient density is what this book is about. And if you're interested in eating nutrient-dense diet, which I can safely say without anyone complaining, that's what we all should be eating, then it's, you know, it's for you. And then the other piece I will say is if you are on a particular diet because of health, such as autoimmune protocol or plant paradox or GAPS diet or FODMAPs, these diets are generally prescribed by a healer, health professional, due to you know, gastrointestinal issues or an array of other health issues. This book is helpful because there's a toolbar at the bottom of each recipe that relates to each of these diets in specifics. So you can look up the decadent ginger power truffles and see that, oh, you have to omit such and such ingredient for this particular diet.
Well, how do you keep organic and this nutrient-dense type of diet affordable for families?
That's a great question, and a very practical question. So there's a place in my book, and you can find it online as well. I highly recommend folks who are conscious of affordability, which most of us are, to, if we're talking about produce, let's say, to look for what tests high for pesticide residues and what doesn't test high for pesticide residues. For me, it's much more important to purchase things organic that test high for pesticide residues, right? So things that don't test high for pesticide residues are things such as cauliflower or broccoli, onions, asparagus, things like that. So, and oftentimes you can fill your fridge with things like that. But blueberries, you know, you definitely want to buy blueberries organic, strawberries. If you zest your lemons, buy organic lemons. So this information is so easily found online. If you have a copy of my book, it's in there as well.
That's a great tip. I know I've seen those cards and sometimes carry them in my wallet when I go to the grocery store, the Dirty Dozen. And on the other side, it says the ones that are low on pesticides as well. And so that it's sort of a shopping guide when you're at the produce section, you know, as far as what you can spend your organic budget on.
Right. But if you know that you're going to just use lemon juice that week, it's okay to buy non-organic. Right. So educate. I mean, the more you know, the better. And the other thing I'll say regarding affordability, and this is huge, this is so important, is shop the perimeter of the grocery store and really try not to buy packaged ingredients. And that's going to help your wallet and that's going to help your health because the perimeter of the grocery store is protein, it's unpackaged foods, it's vegetables, it's fruits, and the inside of the grocery store is when you get into the packaged foods, to the foods that are not good for your health, but also cost more money to make.
So. That's interesting. I never considered that.
I don't usually have lists when I go to the grocery store. I just go in and that's how I work with people individually with my coaching is not so much. I mean, I do encourage them to make some recipes from the book, to use the book as a bit of a handbook. Like, oh, try this one this week just for fun if you have the time. But generally, go grab some organic boneless, skinless chicken thighs, for example, and then maybe grill them with this if you like. But grab five veggies, five of your favorite different types of veggies, and just toss them all in the oven. And then you'll have, you know, you have all these veggies in your oven that you can just play with. You can top them with fried eggs. You can put your chicken on top. And it really makes, it sort of demystifies cooking. And it's just fuel.
Maria, where do you buy your food?
Well, my favorite place to buy my proteins especially is a local farm called Golden Hoof. And I have known these guys for many years. They actually, you would recognize them because they used to come to Anjou all the time. And this lovely couple that owns this farm on right around 75th and Valmont, Alice and Carl are their names. And it's a membership-based farm, so you have to be a member. But it is the most nutrient-dense food imaginable. And a doctor that I'm good friends with in the building at the Highland City Club, he sends all his patients there, like, to buy food because he's so behind what they're doing. And so they have lamb, they have beef, they do all the processing of the meat there themselves. I get their duck eggs because I'm allergic to chicken eggs. So delicious. They have goose eggs. They have whole chickens. They have just so much delicious stuff. I just can't recommend it enough. And as you drive in, their pigs are running around. You can see all their animals. It's so lovely. It's just so... It's so lovely for the being just to be there and walk around. So we're up there a couple times a week, and Philip and I take Monty, and it's a great place to be.
So coming full circle now, Nat Geo named Boulder the happiest city in the United States in 2017. How is this true for you? Why do you call Boulder home?
I just got chills. Right? Being able to leave work and just hop on a trail in literally like 3 minutes. Like, I can just go right up and jump on Dakota Ridge and be in beauty and be in silence most of the time. The bike trails, the farmers market, also the consciousness, like the level of consciousness here is so different from most places. And the eye contact, like the general level of like comfort and breath that people have. You can look at someone and like take a breath and it's simple. And, you know, not everyone, like a lot of people are in their phones and they're distracted and that's fine, but it's different here than it is when I go on a trip somewhere. And I'm so grateful to call this place home, to be here. It's really healthy for me.
What neighborhood do you live in?
I have a townhome on right around Iris and Folsom. I mean, just like taking walks in our neighborhood is so lovely, and the sunsets and the sunshine here. It's just, it really does something to your whole being to walk through there.
It really does. Yeah. Folks, her gorgeous book is such an amazing resource for the home. It has tips on management, reducing food costs, simplifying your life without compromising on flavor. Get your copy of Heartful Kitchen. Today, it is available in Boulder at the Boulder Bookstore, Wonder Juice Press, Alfalfa's, Peppercorn, the Golden Hoof Farm, Highland City Club, and you can also visit her website, www.chefmariacooper.com, for info on nourishment coaching and to purchase the book. And please do follow her on Facebook and Instagram at Chef Maria Cooper. Thank you, Chef Maria, for visiting us today on the Boulderista podcast.
Thank you.
Is true that you are what you eat, then you must be eating pure sunshine because you're just radiating love and vitality in the studio today. So thank you so much. I love you.
Oh, I love you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Boulderista podcast. For more info on today's episode, to nominate an influencer to be on the show, or to connect with me for your Boulder real estate needs, please visit us at www.thebolderista.com and on Facebook and Instagram at The Boulderista. While you're there, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Until next time, stay happy, Boulder!